Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 82 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Tandy Wallingford.
We decided that we really wanted to try to make it as green as possible.
Maysville Community and Technical College received green accolades on its new Rowan campus.
Moorhead State is accepting entries for this year's homecoming parade.
Officials in Pikeville say part of the Kentucky Wired project is complete.
Deer season in the Commonwealth begins tomorrow.
Boyd County Jail deputies are facing new charges relating to an inmate death.
In sports, MSU won the first matchup in this weekend's Eagle Challenge.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 20% chance of showers tonight with a low of 61. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The Rowan campus of the Maysville Community and Technical College has been awarded a LEED Gold certification by the U.S. Green Building Council. There's a mandate for state-owned buildings to receive a silver status. To obtain gold, a building must incorporate energy-saving technology into its design and daily operations. Russ Ward is the director of the Rowan campus. He says the plan was to go for the gold from the beginning.
You know, we would have lived with silver, but the entire team decided that we wanted to try to see if we could get gold, and so it was a real team effort as far as the construction folks and the architects and everyone that was involved. So it was, we definitely wanted to get that. We didn't know if we would, but we were pretty excited when we found that out.
The announcement comes shortly after welcoming students to the adjacent Center for Workforce Development facility at the beginning of the fall semester. Its opening marks the completion of the second phase of the new Rowan campus. An official opening ceremony is planned for next week on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m.
Applications for Moorhead State University 2019 homecoming float and non-float entries are now open. The year's theme will be Go for the Gold, and the parade is set for Saturday, October 19th, before the Eagle football team faces Butler. Associate Director, Leadership Programming and Inclusion, Shannon Colvin, says the event was moved back to Saturday for this year's festivities.
When we headed on Thursday, we were getting some feedback from our alumni that they really wanted to see the homecoming parade, but they couldn't because most of them can't come in on Thursday. They can come in, you know, Friday evening for the weekend. And so moving it to Saturday morning, we hope will boost that attendance and let people, participate or just come out and watch the parade that normally couldn't.
The MSU Homecoming Parade will be held at 9:30 a.m. on October 19th. To register a float or for more information, visit Moorhead State's website on the Student Activities page and look for Homecoming Parade.
School districts across the state of Kentucky want to make sure all of their students are accounted for in the upcoming 2020 census. Educators are taking on the role of explaining the importance of being accounted for to students and to the community. Michelle Eliason is a Louisville-based partnership specialist with the Census Bureau. She says children are the largest undercounted population, and more than 12,000 Kentucky children under 5 years old were missed in the 2010 census.
For example, here in Kentucky, we have one of the highest rates of kinship care of any state across the nation. We have a lot of grandparents raising grandchildren. A lot of times those grandparents do not include their grandchildren on their census questionnaire.
According to Eliason, the amount of federal funding schools receive is based on census data. Special education grants, Head Start, Title I, and National School Lunch and Breakfast programs all rely on the number of kids tallied.
Martin County is receiving nearly $4 million to deal with its long-troubled water district. The grants were announced yesterday by U.S. Representative Hal Rogers and Governor Matt Bevin. Rogers says the funding will help the county take the next steps to repair the water system once and for all. WIMT was there for the announcement.
Childhood experiences that way that drove my passion. Upwards of 90% of the people of my district have drinking good drinking water. 90%. When I started out, it was like 30.
The support includes $2 million from the Abandoned Mine Lands Pilot Program, with another near $2 million being invested by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
Officials at the Shaping Our Appalachian Region Summit in Pikeville announced that part of the Kentucky Wired Project is complete. WMKY's Chanasty Davis has the story.
After multiple delays, Governor Matt Bevin and Congressman Hal Rogers pressed a button and activated the broadband internet connection in the region. Kentucky Wire's 1B and 2 rings will provide infrastructure for broadband connectivity in 39 counties, including most of the WMKY listening area. Once the entire project is complete, it will be the first statewide high-speed broadband network in the nation. Kentucky Wired is expected to be 10 to 20 times faster than what local providers have available. It will, however, be up to local providers to offer broadband to homes and businesses. The entire statewide network is expected to be completed in 2020. For WMKY News, I'm Chanasty Davis.
Bow hunters in Kentucky can begin the season tomorrow. Officials with the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife say it's a week later than normal. Conservation Officer Sergeant Homer Pigman tells Mountaintop Media about another change, the extension of crossbow season.
It's an opportunity for you to get out there in the early part of the season before the pattern changes when the deer, usually about the first frost, you'll notice that the deer pattern changes. You've got to do a lot more scouting and a lot more preparing. I like the first part of the season because it gives you an opportunity to get out there before that pattern changes and get an opportunity to see a good buck come walking by your tree stand.
Crossbow season for deer opens on September 21st. Both seasons run through January 20th, 2020.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays downtown Moorhead on U.S. 60 near the City Park. The Round County Farmers Market offers homegrown fruits, vegetables, and baked goods, accepting WIC and Senior Farmers Market nutrition vouchers and participating in the Community Farm Alliance Double Dollars program. Supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud.
Four former guards at the Boyd County Detention Center are facing additional charges stemming from the November 2018 death of inmate Michael Moore. Multiple counts of abuse charges were announced this morning for Brad Roberts, Zachary Messer, Colton Griffith, and Jeremy Maddox, who already face manslaughter charges stemming from Moore's death. According to WSAZ, security footage was presented in court today. Boyd County's Commonwealth Attorney says the charges are for each time the guards caused physical injury by allegedly intentionally causing torture, cruel confinement, or cruel punishment to a person who is physically or mentally helpless. Kentucky State Police Trooper Jeffrey Kelly says that the officers knew of a possible injury during the attack.
Deputy Messer said he heard a pop or a crack when Deputy Griffith threw Mr. Moore into the toilet.
The four appeared this morning for a bond reduction hearing. A decision on that motion is expected to be made by the judge within the next couple of days.
A Lawrenceburg mother has filed a federal lawsuit against the Franklin County Regional Jail, claiming her son died due to gross negligence. Dylan Stratton was found dead in his cell on January 23rd after suffering from drug withdrawal symptoms. Attorneys representing the family say the jail's own video shows Stratton's deteriorating health. Leslie Glass tells LEX 18 she hopes no one else will have to suffer as her son did.
Why? That's the question that I keep asking. Why? Why wouldn't anyone help him? And I can't get past that. He made some mistakes and he'd done some things he shouldn't have, but he was just 21. He was just a kid. He didn't deserve to suffer at all.
The investigation was closed and the event was deemed as non-criminal in nature by the Frankfort Police Department's Criminal Investigation Division.
A Wolf County woman was arrested Thursday on a charge of child abuse. According to an arrest warrant, police say Brenda Stamper intentionally pulled or dragged a disabled student across the playground with her hands. WYMT reports the incident apparently happened after a student did not want to return to the classroom during recess. Police say the child had visible injuries from the incident, which happened August 28th. Stamper was charged with fourth-degree assault, child abuse, and she was taken to the Three Forks Regional Jail.
The man accused of murder in Savannah Spurlock's death appeared in court for the first time since a grand jury indicted him on the charge. David Sparks appeared in Garrett Circuit Court, where a not guilty plea was entered on his behalf on three charges. He faces counts of murder, tampering with physical evidence, and abuse of a corpse in the case. Troopers say Spurlock went to Sparks' home on Price Court in Garrett County on the night she disappeared, January 4th. According to WKYT, authorities found her body in July with a rug and garbage bags. That rug and garbage bags matched the material that was found in Sparks' home. Family members and friends of Spurlock filled three rows of the courtroom for the arraignment. Sparks' next court appearance is scheduled for November 1st, as there was more time needed for the discovery phase.
A Winchester man is facing charges for his alleged possession and distribution of child pornography. The Winchester Sun reports 45-year-old Jerry Spencer Jr. was arrested Wednesday following an investigation by the Kentucky State Police Electronic Crime Branch. Police arrived at his residence as part of the investigation, where they seized equipment for forensic evaluation. When they received permission to view Spencer's phone, that's where they also found evidence. So far, he's facing one count of distribution of a matter portraying a minor in a sexual performance and two counts of possession of child pornography. He's lodged in the Clark County Detention Center.
The names of three individuals killed in a crash on Interstate 75 in Lexington have been released. The collision occurred when Winchester police followed 42-year-old Tammy Rodriguez into Fayette County. Authorities say she merged from I-64 to I-75 and made an abrupt U-turn. While staying in the northbound lanes, that's when she struck two passenger vehicles, killing 35-year-old Debbie Blevins of Pikeville, 26-year-old Taylor Blevins, and 20-year-old Caitlin Bailey, both of Georgetown. Retired Detective Don Evans tells WKYT, each pursuit case is different.
You just have to take it on a case-by-case, individual basis and do the best to make the decision you can at the time.
Communities create their own policies when it comes to police chases. Lexington police will only chase under certain circumstances. Rodriguez has a long criminal history, which includes four prior DUI arrests.
A Scott County grand jury has indicted coroner John Goble on seven new counts, including perjury. The Georgetown News graphic reports the indictment is for two counts of receiving stolen property, single counts of theft, perjury, possession of a controlled substance, and two counts of official misconduct. In June of 2018, Goble was charged with two counts of receiving stolen property, one count of abuse of public trust, one count of possession of a controlled substance, oxycodone, and two counts of official misconduct. The coroner is accused of receiving $40,000 worth of ammunition, along with three rifles and 10 shotguns, from Master Trooper Mitch Harris, police said. The indictment also says Goble authorized monthly payments to Nathan Morris as a deputy coroner, even though Morris did not perform services related to the position. The drug charges stems from Goble's possession of 90 oxycodone tablets illegally. The news graphic reports Goble is scheduled to stand trial this fall.
Laurel County deputies are searching for a man after a woman reported an attempted sexual assault. KNN's Will Clark has more.
The woman told police she was driving on Kentucky 192 west of London Wednesday night when a driver approached her at a high rate of speed. That car had red and white flashing lights, which were used to pull her over. The woman then telling police a man armed with a hunting knife got in her back seat and forced her to drive onto a county road in a hayfield so he could attempt to sexually assault her. She said the man told her to drive back onto Kentucky 192 towards London and made her stop along the road to make a phone call. The victim then drove away from the scene and went to St. Joseph's Hospital in London to seek medical treatment. The suspect vehicle, described as silver or dark gray with a red and white flashing light. Anyone with information on the suspect or the car asked to call the Laurel County Sheriff's Office. Will Clark, News Radio 840 WHAS.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 63 and a 20% chance of rain. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high around 76 and a 10% chance of rain. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 58 and a 10% chance of rain. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high around 82 and a 10% chance of rain. Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 61 and a 20% chance of rain.
Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's 81 degrees in Flemingsburg, Maysville, and Ashland, 83 degrees in Inez, 86 degrees in Lexington, and here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University, it's 82 degrees. On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff wonders, will people come back to college in droves if the cost comes down? Modaff says, let's hope so.
Recent reports from reliable sources claim that half of America's young people think college may be a waste of time. When that many of the young begin to question the value of college, that's a major swing and one that deserves examination. Let's hope it's not a final examination. Why do so many people today believe that college is not worth the cost, when just a few decades ago, most everyone believed the opposite? There are obvious reasons and subtle ones. Let's start with the obvious. While this may not be true for every institution, on the average, college tuition has increased 8 times faster than wages, or about 260% over the last couple of decades. On-campus housing costs have doubled since 1980, and that's accounting for inflation. These numbers are far outrunning increases in costs elsewhere in American life. In fact, while college tuition has been heading skyward, many other things have stayed flat or gotten cheaper. Why have college costs gone up so much? The answer depends in part on who's talking. Some say it is the explosion of administration following pressure and some mandates to accommodate every student need, from mental health to physical fitness to splendid living conditions. College is not just a place to learn, but a place for everything to be offered and provided to students. This is driving up costs, while all the while leaders know these expansions are more about keeping up with the Joneses than providing better education. And higher tuition and fees mean the people paying want more for the more they pay. So why do young people wonder in record high numbers if college is worth it? They talk to recent graduates, many of whom were enticed while on campus to study fascinating subjects that never have and never will translate into professional opportunities. This used to be okay, for to come out of college smarter was once enough. But that was when college cost about what one could earn in a summer. Now it costs as much as a house or a Maserati, and the cost-benefit calculations are not looking good. The most offensive feature of this genesis toward unaffordability is that the people who are hurt are those who can least afford it. The very rich have always been able to afford college. Everyone else now is being squeezed out or virtually bankrupted, striving to attain what was once attainable, a reasonably priced college education. Answers? Not sure, but free college is not one of them, though some form of that insane plan may pass, depending on who runs the world after 2020. If government is going to take over 100% of the cost, though, then colleges need to start right now doing the patriotic thing. Cut. Cut anything and everything that doesn't have directly to do with making students smarter. Education, comfort, and luxury are not synonyms, and we do not need an administrator for every dozen students or professors who teach only a couple of classes a term or a year. Once real costs are down rather than simply slowed and increased, college will sell like crazy because people will see we did the thing we promised to teach. We behaved wisely. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. It's 449 and 81 degrees here in Morehead. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Tandy Wallingford and Chaz Jenkins. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's Pizza in the Patrick Center, Morehead. Papa John's made-to-order specialty pizzas include the meats, the works, Tuscan 6 cheese, and many more. Side items include garlic parmesan breadsticks, cheese sticks, chicken wings, and poppers. Desserts include chocolate chip cookie and double chocolate chip brownie. For pickup and delivery in Moorhead and Round County, Papa John's can be reached at 784-3551 and online at papajohns.com.
The Eagles win round one. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tom Martin. The Moorhead State volleyball team served up a win in the first match of the Eagle Challenge this morning. The Eagles beat Presbyterian 3-1 in front of an Education Day crowd of area school children. This was the first time MSU has hosted a game in the Johnson Arena. Head coach Jamie Gordon says his team is looking forward to this weekend's matchups.
Each match is an opportunity to get better. I felt last weekend we were able to do that. And so these are these three matches, while they're against some great competition, really we're focusing on what's happening on our side and see how our lineup progresses, how some of our systems continue to get implemented. You know, as I said, ultimately, are we getting better point to point, you know, game to game?
MSU will face Georgia State tonight at 7 p.m. They will close out the Eagle Challenge tomorrow with Providence. First serve is set for noon. The Round County football team will try to remain undefeated tonight when they host Raceland. The Vikings have won their first two games by a total combined score of 95-7 over Morgan and Bath counties. Raceland is coming off a 41-0 loss at Russell last week, but Round County head coach Kelly Ford says none of that will matter when the two teams hit the field.
We got control of the run game. They run the ball pretty well, so Coach Simons does a great job, and one thing Raceland has is tradition. I mean, it's tradition football, and that's like I told them in the huddle. It's not 1A, 2A, 3A. It don't matter. When the lights come on, they have tradition. So football, a great football, and be a great crowd, and Raceland travels really well.
Kickoff in Moorhead is set for 7:30 p.m. tonight. The Round County Boys soccer team will host the King of the Mountains Invitational in Moorhead on Saturday. Boyd County and Corbin face off in the opener at 10 a.m. Round County will face Johnson Central at noon. Round meets Corbin at 5 p.m. and Bath faces Lawrence at 7. Viking head coach Max Hammond says both games will be challenging for his team.
They're usually one of the top teams in the 15th region there, and, you know, we're always a pretty competitive team, so, you know, that should be a good matchup for us. Corbin's done really well this year. They only lost one game. It was to Danville, which has a really good team this year, 4-3. They beat Georgia Clark 1-0. So, I mean, they know how to win ball games. They know how to play.
In other 16th regions boys soccer action this weekend, Bath County travels to Menifee to face West Carter at 10 a.m. in the All-A Classic before making the trek to Rowan. Russell travels to South Point, Ohio, and Ashland Blazer travels to Cabell Midland. Both games are set for 11 a.m. on Saturday. The Round County Girls soccer team will be participating in the King of the Mountain Invitational. The Vikings will face Bluegrass United after taking two road wins this weekend at West Carter and Russell. Head coach Alan Evans says playing three games in 1 week is a lot for his team.
So we have ice baths today after school, just do a lot of stretching and get ready for tomorrow's game. Last night's game was a very physical game for us. The girls play at a very high level, and it takes a toll on their bodies mentally and physically, so trying to recruit, but not much rest time.
Game time is set for 2 p.m. In other regional soccer action this weekend, Ashland Blazer travels to Montgomery County, Russell heads to Madison Central, and Bath County will be participating in the All-A Classic. Moorhead State Soccer looks to make it 2 in a row tonight when they host Miami of Ohio at MSU Recreation and Wellness Intramural Field. The Eagles are 1-2 so far in the year with tough losses against Butler and Louisville. Head coach Warren Lipka says scheduling strong non-conference opponents early in the year helps get his club ready for conference play.
I did not schedule easy. You know, I make it hard and difficult on us, and it's part of a procedure. But, you know, I thought, you know, we battled in our first couple games and got a good result against Akron. There's not a game on our schedule I can look at and say, you know, that's going to be, you know, a win. Each and every game is going to be a battle.
The Redhawks come into tonight looking for their first win of the season. MSU and Miami of Ohio will square off at 6 p.m. After a resounding victory in the season opener, Morehead State football faces its first road test of 2019 tomorrow. The Eagles are traveling to number 16 Illinois State to take on the Redbirds. This is the first time the two schools are meeting since the 2011 season. And head coach Rob Tenure says there were some things that needed cleaning up heading into week two.
You know, we had some penalties that we have to eliminate. You know, we had some snap issues, offside penalties on first downs backed us up. And then we had a couple series there early in the fourth quarter that we just kind of dug ourselves a hole. We got a holding call. We got a penalty. You know, and we just didn't ever recover in those series. And we can't have that late in the game. We really left probably two more scores out there in the game.
Kickoff tomorrow is set for 7:30. The schedule for the Morehead State University women's basketball team has been released. WMKY's Tanner Boyd reports.
In what may be the program's most challenging schedule in its 49-year history, the Morehead State women's basketball team will match up with 2019 national champion Baylor, play road tests against Power 5 opponents Michigan State and Kentucky, and host a three-team event at home. The Eagles opened their season away from home for the second consecutive season when they traveled to Bowling Green to face the Falcons on Saturday, November 9th. Morehead State's Ohio Valley Conference slate opens January 2nd at home against Jacksonville State. It will be the team's first of four straight games at home to open league play. The full schedule can be found at msueagles.com. Tip-off times will be announced at a later date. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
The Cincinnati Reds will begin a three-game series against the Diamondbacks at home this evening. They're coming off a split series with the Phillies picking up a final win yesterday, 4-3. The game also served as a good test for pitcher Joe Cannell, and manager David Bell tells Fox Sports Ohio he did a great job.
He stepped up in a tough spot that we haven't put him in, and you know his stuff plays here. And the other thing is he's just he's acting like he's been here for years. He's just got a real calm presence about him, and you know that's going to serve him really well, especially you know if we see him as a possibility to pitch in you know late inning situations.
First pitch at Great American Ballpark is set for 7:10, and that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Tom Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Soccer welcomes Miami of Ohio tonight at 6 p.m., and volleyball hosts the Eagle Challenge this weekend, featuring matches with Providence and Georgia State. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.